Call the meeting to order. It's the Technical Advisory Committee, Thursday, May 8, 2014. Appears we have a quorum. So the first item on the agenda is the meeting minutes of the March 13, 2014 meeting.
Dave White moved to approve minutes.
Gasper second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. On to the staff reports, the financial progress report, and this will require a motion. Mr. Zegedy.
Hey, thank you. Financial progress report was attachment 3A in your packet. And if you look at line 9 at the bottom of the report, we have expended 75% of the budget. We're 5/6 of the way through the year. We've got two more months in the fiscal year, so this is right where we should be budget-wise. No problems to report. And with that, we ask for a motion approving the financial progress report.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed. Next, technical progress report. Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've got quite a few resolutions today, so I'll try to be brief. First of all, usually been updating about the transportation authorization today. Jason's going to be doing a larger scale presentation on it, so he will update you on that. Big thing I want to talk to you about today was that AMEPS, through funding with the Knight Foundation, is hosting a Switching Gears Active Transportation Conference. It's a one-day conference, June 26th, at both the Akron Downtown Library and then over at the Knight Center. Lunch will be provided. Registration is online at switchinggears.org. It's a free event. It's really going to be geared towards practitioners, so we would really love all of our members to come out if you can make it. Basically, what we're doing is we're talking about all sorts of alternative modes of transportation. We'll have speakers from Jason Roberts, who's part of the Better Block group that does basically pop-up infrastructure. So people that you might have seen the news, at first it was illegally, but would go and, say, paint a bike lane on a road. Now they've kind of legitimized themselves, and they're helping people and communities organize grassroots efforts. He's going to be there to speak. And then also Dave Cheslovic, the former mayor of Madison, Wisconsin, will also be a keynote speaker for the event. So again, we think it's great for anyone that's kind of interested in different modes of transportation, biking, walking, complete streets, etc. We definitely encourage everyone to participate. Secondly, remiss if we didn't mention the weather. It's beautiful out, and I think one of the things that gets us thinking about are One Bike and Brainstorm events. We've gotten a lot of communities coming to us interested in hosting them. We've probably got capacity to do about 3 or 4 of them this summer. So if you are interested, your community is interested, I know I've talked to some of you already, we'd be happy to talk to you about organizing one of those. And then also, Victor might mention our regular traffic counting season, but we are also going to be doing our bike and ped counting season. If there are any locations where you're looking at and you feel like you'd like to get a better handle on what your what pedestrians are doing, what bicyclists are doing, let us know. We've got the staff to go out and do some of those counts to give you some numbers that I think would be really helpful for planning purposes. And then finally, did want to congratulate Portage Parks District, Chris Graycroft, with the levy passing for the Portage Parks District. It's pretty exciting. So I think we're really looking forward to working more with Portage Parks and hopefully funding some of those trail connections. So congratulations. But if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Baker. AMATS Federal Funds Report, Attachment 3C, Mr. Bodison.
Thank you. The fiscal year is going to end here at the end of June. The ODOT funds are booked at the beginning of June, so that means we have about a month left to encumber the rest of the projects for this fiscal year. So if you look at the table, you'll see that there's about a dozen projects left. Many of those have already sold or just sold. There's some lag time before our funds are encumbered. But you also see that there's a couple projects that we know at this point are not going to make this fiscal year. We still may be a project or two that won't make it. So the next time you see this in July, we'll know for sure which projects made it. and which ones didn't. You'll recall earlier this year we did a funding trade with a couple MPOs in Ohio for about $5.5 million. We had an overage of CMAQ funds, and this year we're saving up for future year projects. We did that, and then we still had some funds left over, and then 2 weeks ago another MPO in Ohio contacted us, and we were able to trade with them an additional 400 some thousand, and that's reflected on that table also. Next week, our TAC TFP subcommittee is going to meet. Two of the main issues we're going to talk about is the CMAQ, the statewide CMAQ funding program, as well as the PCR, pavement condition rating and data collection effort that we've started. As far as the statewide CMAQ funding program, we'll start that underway here at the local level. We don't have any dates at this point yet, but that committee is going to meet next week, talk about some of the details. Imagine within the next 2 to 3 weeks there'll be an email that goes out to start this process. And then over the summertime we'll get those applications back. And that list of projects will ship it down to the state and will be presented at this committee, the policy committee, in September for final approval. Those projects will be moved on down to the state and then they'll compete against the rest of the projects in the state. So we'll get you more details of that process rolls out. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about was the pavement condition rating, data collection effort. You'll recall about 2 years ago, ODOT used to get the PCR data that we needed on the federal local aid system. We used that to score resurfacing projects that come in for funding. About 2 years ago, ODOT contacted us and said they're going to no longer collect that data on the federal aid system. So what we've been doing since then is getting together a local process that we could do just with the NowMats funded program. That started getting underway, and then in the last couple of weeks, ODOT contacted us and said they're going to go back to continuing to collect this PCR data on the local federal aid system. So we do have a PCR subcommittee that met this past Monday to discuss options going forward. There's a few options there, and that will bring that information to the TAC TFP subcommittee, which will be next week, to get some more direction on where to go. And, you know, there's options that we could either back, AMS to back off from what they've been doing here at the local level and go back to using ODOT's data, or we can continue to go in the direction we have. And just, I mean, there's a lot of options there. Jason, I don't know if you wanted to add to that.
I think two of the big options, the PCR data that ODOT collects has been adequate for scoring the projects in most cases, but when we first threw this idea out, a lot of local governments said, we like to get more detailed data in the form of a PCI, which is a more detailed framework for looking at the pavement condition. So I know a lot of the communities that were interested in that want to go forward with the shared service, and Joe with Summit County Engineers has been heading up the contract, which could cut across county lines to do that. That's going to move forward with collecting data on the local streets. And then, so the discussion Victor is kind of alluding to is, what do we do with the federal aid routes? I think for sure we'll probably go forward with using ODOT's data, but there still is an interest, I think, in getting more detailed data too. And looking at our own budget, it looks like AMATS with the planning money we get could probably fund the federal aid routes for all the other communities in the region. So I think that's one thing we'll talk to the TIP subcommittee about. But I would encourage you, if you're a community that either does collect that data already or is interested in starting to do it, talk to Joe Paradise with Summit County, because I think the whole point of this shared service is by getting more and more people, there's economies of scale, and you could potentially save 30 to 50% on the data collection costs.
And I understand there's been some discussion of having multiple tiers.
That's correct.
So each community would be able to select if you want to just do major roads, all the roads, or some combination, and have a sliding scale to do that.
Right. Just information Joe will need when he goes to negotiate the contract. But that's correct. You can kind of, you know, a la carte pick what level of detail you want.
And I think they're kind of trying to set that up to make it so notify the communities that they can jump on board and hear the parameters and so forth. And if I'm not correct, Joe, jump in and fix it.
With some 30, 40, 50 communities in Amet, Fort Hood Summit, outside areas, I have 30, 40, 50 law directors and auditors and elected officials I got to deal with. So I'm not setting a fixed, rigid standard. We did get legislation through the Summit County Council authorizing West Pry to enter an agreement with members of the IMATS community individually to join us in our endeavor of picking up pavement condition index ratings. Summit County has been doing this for 20-some years, and we can sit there and work with what are scenarios. What if I add an extra million to this? What if I don't do this? What if I change my pavement types? The vendor we have provides us ODOT cost data that's annualized each and every year. It's not just a number. It's actually last year's bid numbers. We can predict based on those numbers where our pavement condition is going to be. We can do it the other way and say we want a pavement condition rating of whatever. And what do we need to get that meant? We can come up with an average number. We can come up with a spreadsheet of different numbers. It's data that's in a spreadsheet that we can analyze each and every way and come up with the best product for our people. When we started this 5-6 years ago, when I first started with the county, our pavement condition rating was on its way down. We were down to the high 50s. We set a goal at that time to get a 65. This last year, based on the 2013 numbers, we come up to 64.9, so we just said, our goal's too low, let's set it higher. Our new goal is 68. And we're going to chase up. I think ODOT's goal is 85 on the state routes. Some of the communities would love to be able to compare themselves to others, see what they can do. It helps with the decision-making process. Why did you do that road, not this road? That has a pavement condition index of 61, that has an index of 59. We're doing 59, we'll get 61 next year. You can see a progress. It's a rhyme and reason rather than going willy-nilly and driving through hundreds of miles of city streets to figure out what's going on. There are some communities, I pick on Monroe Falls, the mayor can get on a bicycle and ride all 15-mile streets about a week and have a real good understanding what his roads are like. Other communities, Stowe, for example, you're going to have a hard time comparing each and every one of them. We set up a block length. Our block length for Summit County is a half a mile, 500 feet. Excuse me, 500 feet, not a half a mile. In talking with Jim Bowling, who does it in Kent, some of his block lengths are 200 feet because that's all the length. You can specify whichever you want. Summit County does all of our roads. Twinsburg Township has joined us, and they do most of their roads. Just like with our Summit County Paving Collaboration Program with chip seal and crack sealing, we're willing to partner with everybody to get the best bang for the buck. We've got people in our office that have used the program. By the way, the program was developed by the University of Colorado in conjunction with the U.S. Air Force to evaluate runways throughout the entire world to decide which ones get fixed first. If you're in a situation where you have a council wants a road in each you can evaluate that way. You can work the data whichever way you care to.
And Joe reminded me one other benefit that we on the staff saw was it would help us to do better pavement management region-wide. So a lot of you are familiar with the crash report that we do, and we highlight the highest crash locations. Having better data on pavement condition would allow us to do a similar analysis, looking at the whole region. Here are the 100 worst pavements. We could break it down by average daily traffic. We could break it down by functional class, however we wanted to slice it and dice it. And it would, I think, especially for some of the smaller communities that might not have the time or the staff or the budget to do this, we can show them, you know, here's where your weakest links in the system are pavement condition wise. You should apply to us next time for funding, or we could help them prepare applications for things like Issue 1, which luckily passed also on Tuesday. So there are, I think, a lot of regional benefits, not just to the local community, but the way we look at things holistically, too.
Okay, you made him speechless. Okay, then. Apparently, we don't have any old business,
no,
so we'll move on to new business, the status of the surface transportation reauthorization. Mr. Zegarty.
Okay, now that we talked about pavement, this will be about how to pay to fix that pavement. So a couple things. You guys, I think, have heard over the last couple months, we've done status reports on the status of the reauthorization of the transportation bill, as well as the Highway Trust Fund, which is where all the federal dollars for transportation come from and where every penny that comes to AMATS comes from. So as per usual in these discussions, there's always a lot of speculation. We are getting close enough now to two big events where we thought it was worthwhile to share what we know with you. The two big events, the one is the trust fund goes bankrupt in August, so that's a pretty big deal. The second one is the current transportation bill, MAP 21, expires October 1st. So a lot of this hinges on the gas tax. And AMATS endorsed the 10-cent per gallon gas tax increase back in 2010. Not a lot has happened since then. It's a big source of revenue for all of our highway, transit, bike, and pedestrian projects. Excuse me. Raises about $40 billion per year. Hasn't been raised since 1993. So, excuse me, I'm going to grab a glass of water. I've got frog in my throat. I'll be right back. Sorry about that. That'll let me make it through the rest of this. So really, political leaders from both parties have been reluctant to touch, really, the issue of raising the gas tax. Where the rubber's hit the road now is the trust fund will be insolvent in August. Like a lot of federal programs, there's more money going out of it than coming into it. So one of the things that we've looked at is the idea that the trust fund, excuse me, Curtis, do you think you could fill in for me a little bit? I'm feeling a little wonky. Maybe it's this heat. I can give you my notes.
Take over.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll give you the clicker.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
all right, so as many of you know, Highway Trust Fund is a reimbursement program. Existing funds have already been committed to the ongoing projects. Basically, what happens is if Congress does not move forward on this, what we're going to get to the point is there's no federal money in those projects. Which would probably lead to a lot of projects that not being completed and projects also getting stuck sort of at the halfway point of being developed. Nationally, over $47 billion have been planned for transportation projects, so Ohio could stand to lose about almost $1.5 billion. Basically, Transportation for America has come out with a new report. They're looking at the looming financial disaster. It was released just a couple weeks ago. We've talked to some people through OARC about what their major concerns are. And I think the big concern kind of is along the lines of, well, if the federal government's willing to take the debt crisis, you know, to the brink, is really the transportation infrastructure and transportation funding as big of a deal, and what are they going to do with it? So there's a lot of concern there. So they did some estimates, and actually, let's see.
Oh, yeah, it shows how much the states and regions would receive if the money did not run out. So I guess this shows sort of how we would end up losing out. So the Akron area would be about $17 million of that $1.5 billion. Their proposal is to raise $30 billion to bring the total federal investment to $68 billion annually. Right now we're about $38 to $39 billion, almost $40 billion a year, so that would be quite a new investment. Additional investment. One of the things, though, that they're interested in is providing more funding for grants like the Tiger program. So similar to PARTA's Gateway Project, a lot of people think that that has been a very successful program and would like to see more federal money being put into sort of these discretionary pots. Obviously, we don't have earmarks anymore either, so or kind of don't, but I think Tiger is a way that could sort of almost take the place of earmarks in a way. So with being a little bit more of a competitive process. So their proposal was to increase highway funding, and Jason, I don't remember, it was 17 cents, correct?
Yeah, and I think I can fill in for you a little bit. I'm just feeling like a little bit faint with this heat. They've got this proposal on the table. I think one of the things we wanted to share with you is we did want to write some letters to members of Congress, I think alert them to our concern. One issue, I think people have talked a lot of times about the trust fund running out of money. It's gotten $55 billion in general fund revenue over the last 6 years. So that's it's constantly been shored up with funding. That's really unsustainable. And what a lot of people are worrying about is just like the debt ceiling conversation. This is probably not as big of a deal to Congress as that was, and you know, we kind of risked the full faith and credit of the United States in that conversation. So there is a real possibility that this money could dry up, not permanently obviously, but it will set things back a lot. So we'd like to be proactive, write to our congressional reps, share some of the concerns. I think we obviously believe in the MPO process a lot, not just our staff, but having all of you, having the local governments, the RTAs, ODOT, all around the same table making decisions on how the federal money is used. And so I wanted to share with you, we would like to reach out to our congressional delegation. If you guys have concerns or issues you would like us to communicate, we would be glad to do that. Similar to that, I think we'd encourage you to contact your congressional reps as well. Tell them that this funding is important and how it makes a difference in your community. So with that, hopefully that gives you a little bit of an overview. If there are any questions, right now it's kind of an unknown what will happen if the trust fund runs out of money. I know when we talked to folks at ODOT Central Office, they were somewhat confident that, like a lot of these past practices, at the 11th hour, Congress will continue to borrow money from the general fund. That's probably what will happen. But I do worry because I think there will come a day when that can't go on anymore. And on the revenue side, Curtis shared some of the Transportation for America proposal. There have been President Obama proposed reforming corporate taxes, putting that money into the trust fund. Senator Boxer had done a proposal with a wholesale gasoline tax instead of a retail. There have been a couple, this is the Transportation for America proposal, but there's people have talked about a vehicle miles traveled fee that we've discussed before. I think that's a non-starter for a lot of reasons. But suffice it to say that there really hasn't been a viable revenue proposal, I think, that both parties, or really either party, can embrace. So at least for the short term, it looks like we'll either continue to borrow the money, or it'll just go bankrupt, and there'll be a couple months of chaos till the money will be found, I'm confident, at some point. But our hope is that it's found before it goes bankrupt rather than afterward.
How long have they been talking about raising the gas tax?
It hasn't been raised since 1993. So it's 18.4 cents per gallon, and when you think about what gas cost in 1993, that was about an 18% sales tax. and wouldn't be close to an 18% sales tax now. And with the amount of inflation over 21 years, that's really eroded the ability of the trust fund to fund both highways and public transit. And one of AMAT's other thoughts on the related to public transit is, on the federal side, about 20% of the trust fund goes to transit. At the state level, there's not really a statewide program of any significance because the Ohio Constitution prevents state gas tax from going to transit. But a couple of the metropolitan planning organizations have talked about it might make sense to create, I haven't really even talked to Metro in part about this, but to create some sort of a, similar to the ORDC, the Ohio Rail Development Corporation, maybe some sort of Ohio Transit Development Corporation, where the state could at least help with maybe some intercity transit or transit service to job centers or between job centers and so forth. So I think that's another thing we'll try to talk to some folks around the state about, and probably talk to the RTAs a little bit more in the future. Mayor.
It almost seems ridiculous that they're even arguing about or discussing a 10-cent gas increase. I look at the signs in front of the gas stations where I live, and literally within 30 seconds, one of them goes up or down 10 or 20 cents. And when it comes to funding the transportation projects and the road projects and stuff like that, we all see the results of what happens when we don't maintain our infrastructure. And it kills me that they're even arguing about it. Put the 10 cents on there and make sure this one stays solvent so that we can continue to not only improve but repair the roads that we have. It's I don't understand government.
Amen. You aren't.
I know. That's why I don't understand it.
One of the biggest fears I have is how 80-20 job, you put up your 20% up front. The federal government does not put up 80%. The locals pay their share, they pay the federal share, then they invoice the state and they invoice the federal government and get reimbursed. If that reimbursement stops coming back because the federal government's out of money, your project starts shuts down real quick.
Oh yeah.
And you sit there with orange drums out there and very angry citizens, and they're screaming at you and not
Washington. I just hang up on them. Not really.
If I could throw in another point, too, that I think, and Jason and I were talking about, and what Mayor, you brought up, the gas tax, I think the reality is, too, is that really there's a lot of concern about is the gas tax still there? Are there, you know, other methods to do this? But the reality is the purchasing power of the gas tax has decreased most due to inflation more than anything else. The fuel efficiency of cars, while it's had a minor blip on the trust fund, the real issue is still that we can't buy the same amount that we could buy in 1993, obviously. So, you know, while there's a lot of time spent at looking at these different options for how to raise the revenue, the gas tax is still a very good way to do it, you know, even when you have people driving Priuses and things like that. The real impact is on the inflation more than.
And that's one other issue I didn't really get into on more the fiscal side is, in my opinion, I think a lot of the discussion that's intertwined with the financing is what our federal priorities are and how it's used. And a lot of, when you think about the United States federal program, it hasn't really changed significantly in its mission since 1956 when the Interstate Highway Act. And I think if you look at some of the trends, you know, the higher energy prices, the difficulty, especially of poor people, to be able to get to jobs because we've spread things out, and there, you know, there aren't a whole lot of great alternatives for a lot of people other than driving. Some of the anecdotal, but I think real trends of younger generations not wanting to be as car dependent. I think it is a good time for Congress also to be talking about what's the mission of the federal government with regards to transportation. And unfortunately, I think with that conversation, which in a way should be easier even than the financing conversation, although I agree totally with the mayor, in reality, I think it's actually easier politically to just throw more money at the same system rather than talk about maybe reforming that system to better fit the needs of 2014. And I think that that conversation and discussion will happen eventually, but I would argue the longer it takes to have that discussion about the mission of the US DOT, we could spend a lot more money and a lot more time and a lot more fiscal problems and maybe trying to undo some of the, you know, some of the problems of the past. So that's just some other food for thought. Any more thoughts from local perspective? Jim?
I just have a question. Do you have any idea of when we'll, if August and nothing's been done, how that will affect the projects that AMETS has funded?
In a worst case scenario, if the trust fund were to actually go bankrupt, then all reimbursements from FHWA would stop. So really any project that hasn't yet started wouldn't go forward until that problem got addressed. And anything, like Joe said, that reimbursement payments for work already done would stop too. So it is a little bit frightening.
I think somebody on
MN's
staff could maybe put together a sample letter that we could maybe use to and suggest the places to send it.
Sure. I do have, based on notes for just talking to you today, sorry I couldn't talk to you effectively earlier. One of the things that I am going to do is try to put together a draft letter for
okay,
what we would send.
It's a very good point, and if we could just get some way to...
Sure, and you could feel free to anything you disagree with or don't want to get into the detail of omit and put some of your own...
Yeah, whatever we want. That's having a good starting point is an excellent
thing. Sure.
Make it easier for us to start a letter campaign with ourselves, with anyone else who's interested to do that.
Yeah, we'd be happy to.
Yeah.
And that's something I think we could do in the next week or two.
Well, that's great.
Any other questions, thoughts?
Okay,
Thank you. Moving on.
Thank you. Item number 6, into the resolutions. Resolution number 2014-06, adopting the AMATS Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan. And we will request a motion from Mr. Brugler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. Making up the bulk of your board packets this afternoon is Attachment 6A. This is Resolution 2014-06, and it is to approve the AMATS Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan. That's a mouthful. We usually just refer to it as the Coordinated Plan for our region. This is a plan that is required by the FTA to administer Section 5310 funding. That is a funding program that it's also known as the Enhanced Mobility of Seniors and Individuals with Disability Program. It's not insignificant. About $500,000 comes to our region annually through this program. So this plan, basically, it targets those with disabilities, senior citizens, and also those of low income. The main purpose of the plan is to determine the needs of these three targeted groups to evaluate the current services that are out there for their transportation needs, to find gaps between those two, and then finally to offer recommendations to address those gaps. Coordination is key in this planning process. What it does is generally it ensures that the RTA's transit providers, HART and Metro, various social service agencies and other nonprofit transportation providers are on the same page and working together so that we can best leverage the transportation assets available to our region and to avoid service redundancies in any way possible. We do have a coordinated plan already in effect. The current one, until this one could be approved, was done in 2008. One of the primary reasons we're updating it now is because of MAP 21. There were a lot of changes that necessitated this update. Under the old one, several of the funding programs that one focused on have been either eliminated or rolled into other other programs as part of the streamlining process that was part of NAP 21. So we had to reflect that. The new funding programs offer expanded opportunities for projects to be funded with this money, and also it enlarges the group of recipients of the 5310 funding that's kind of administered based on this plan. We also just wanted to reflect the most current data. 2008 is quite a long time ago. We've had a census and a lot of American Community Survey data available since then, so we wanted to have the newest thing out there to base our analyses on. Another thing we wanted to shoot for was to have a concise plan. The other one is kind of a monster. It's 126 pages. This one, although still fairly large, it's a two-third reduction in size. It's not all about the number of pages, but we wanted a very readable document and a one that could serve as a quick reference to the people who would be applying for funds or who want to do projects to benefit these targeted groups in our region. And finally, the old one was a bit ambiguous at times when it comes to the recommendations that it offered. We wanted to really set clear priorities for our region, and we hope that we made that improvement in this newest version. Outreach is extremely critical for this planning process, maybe more than most other planning processes that we do. It's a very interesting planning process because we kind of escape the bubble of the typical agencies that we work with, cities, municipalities, transit providers. This one we do a lot of contact with social service agencies, the United Ways, the Area Agencies on Aging, Hattie Laurel, and a lot of agencies like that we've been in contact with to kind of see what their needs are. Behind the scenes, they do a lot of transportation people for jobs, for medical purposes, all kinds of reasons, and we just wanted to know what their needs were and to try to direct funding any way possible to really help with those needs. Through this planning process, it's been about 6 or 7 months that we've been working on this, so we've had multiple meetings. We've put online surveys out there. We've posted that the plan is available in the Beacon Journal, all around libraries and areas. We really tried to reach out to as many people as we could. Through the process, we've talked to more than 40 social service agencies in Portage, Summit, and Wayne counties, and have gotten a lot of comments from them. We've had direct input from citizens through our Citizens Involvement Committee and through some other venues, some of the meetings that we had. We had, between our last Citizens Involvement Committee, we opened up a public comment period. That was roughly 2 months ago, so we tried to allow a lot of time to receive comments on this. That's just very important to the process. One thing that we're really pleased with is we got a lot of significant input from Wayne County. Worcester Transit, it's a very small transit company. They basically just serve the city of Worcester. They provide no service to the Wayne County portion of the AMATS area. Doylestown and Richmond are kind of just out there hanging when it comes to transportation services. And they noticed this planning process, and we've been in contact with them a lot, met with them several times. And they really like a lot of the ideas in this to kind of incorporate it into their own. So even, I don't know if our own RTAs will provide any service out there, but if Worcester Transit itself, just this has kind of inspired them to maybe reach out a little farther. So as long as those people in our area have some kind of, any additional transportation options to them is like a really positive outcome from this planning process. So we're really happy with that. And of course, we've had a great partnership with Parkland Metro through the process. They've helped us the whole time, and we've received excellent input from them. They have a very important part of administrating the funding and the projects that kind of are the fruit of this plan. So through the entire process, we've received a whole lot of comments. Everyone has been incorporated into the possible final draft before you, either directly or in spirit. Some of them were very specific, maybe too specific for a regional plan, but they're definitely covered through the larger recommendations proposed within. It's been a very enjoyable process. The last one that we did we were involved a lot, but it was basically run by an outside consultant. This one has been much more hands-on, and I think it's really helped us develop a lot of partnerships with people that we've never really reached out to before. It was lots, more grassroots in nature, I think, and I think we have a pretty good plan and have learned a lot. And the plan, very important, is it's just the starting point. There's some high-level recommendations. They're kind of all-encompassing. The key is the implementation going forward. And these relationships we've developed are really starting to grow. We've been working with a lot of people. who are really interested in going forward with this, and people applying for projects that have never done so before, and doing a lot of different things in this area, so we think it could be really beneficial to our region. The staff recommends approval of the plan, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Dave White, move to approve 2014-06.
Brian Smith, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Mr. Brugler. Okay, moving on, resolution 2014-07, approving amendment number 13 to the Transportation Improvement Program, fiscal year 2014-17, to add ODOT, awarded OTPP funds, fiscal year 2014 for Metro RTA. And this will require a request of motion, attachment 6B, Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This resolution seeks to add recently awarded funds to the TIP for Metro. ODOT is awarding these funds through its Ohio Transit Preservation Partnership Program. These are ODOT attributable funds that are being flexed over for transit use. Metro is requesting the addition of $250,000 in FY2014 for the rehabilitation of two commuter buses. This project will be funded at 80% federal share at $200,000 federal. Purchase and installation of new and more efficient energy engines will allow Metro to continue their North Coast Express commuter service to downtown Cleveland. The staff is requesting approval of Resolution 2014-07. Be pleased to answer any questions.
No questions for Mr. Gardner. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved. Paradise.
Second?
Pass per second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to resolution 2014-08, approving the fiscal year 2015 transportation planning work program and budget. Mr. Gardner also.
Annually, the MF Policy Committee adopts a work program and budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The fiscal year begins July 1st. The work program identifies the staff planning activities that will take place in the upcoming fiscal year and describe funding sources that will be used to pay for them. A draft of the FY2015 work program was approved by the policy committee in January. It was subsequently submitted to ODOT and the Federal Highway Administration for review and comment. No significant changes to the work program were requested. The major elements of the work program remain the same as the version approved in January. This includes the development of a new TIP according to the standard two-year cycle, continued maintenance of the regional transportation plan, transportation outlook, the traffic counting program, and integration of planning requirements following the passage of MAP 21. The local share amount also remains the same as the one approved in January. Approximately $155,000 in local share dues is requested in order to fund a total budget of $1.8 million for metropolitan planning. The staff is requesting approval of the fiscal year 2015 work program. Please answer any questions.
Any questions? We have a motion to approve.
True. Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Resolution 2014-09, reaffirming the approval of the Regional Transportation Plan and the Transportation Improvement Program, the affirming and consistency between the Regional Transportation Plan, the Transportation Improvement Program, and the State Implementation Plan. This will also have a motion required, and Mr. Gardner, again, it's your lucky day.
Attachment 6D contains two resolutions. These two resolutions, AMATS must pass each year in order to remain certified as a metropolitan planning organization. Resolution 2014-09 affirms AMATS annual approval of the current regional transportation plan, transportation outlook. The same resolution also reaffirms the existing TIP, which has been in place since May of last year, and affirms the consistency of both of these documents with the state implementation plan for air quality conformity, which all MPOs must have. And Resolution 2014-10 certifies that AMAS transportation planning process is being carried out in compliance with all applicable federal requirements. The AMAS transportation planning process is conducted under the supervision of ODOT, and the staff recommends approval of these two resolutions. And we'd be happy to answer any questions.
So you make a motion that includes both?
Let's make a motion to approve both of them.
So moved. Dave White.
Second.
Mr.
Musgrove. All in favor to approve both?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to Resolution 2014-11, approving Amendment Number 14 to the Transportation Improvement Program, Fiscal Year 2014-17, to add a new project, cancel a project, and revise the funding or schedule to five existing projects. This will also require a motion. And Mr. Fillet, Attachment 6E.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 6E in your packet is Resolution 2014-11. This is Amendment 14 to the Transportation Improvement Program. This amendment adds a new project, cancels a project, and revises five existing projects. The new project is State Route 261 for West Avenue in Towne. This is a new resurfacing project, construction scheduled in fiscal year 15 using $561,000 in state funds, $25,000 in MS STP funds for base repairs and curb ramps, and $151,000 in local funds. The project that's being canceled is the Cyberling Way right-of-way purchase. The funding is no longer needed for the advanced right-of-way purchase, and these funds will be reassigned to the original Cyberling Way project. Very briefly, the existing projects that are being changed, State Route 14 in Portage County, the funding is being increased and the construction moved from 14 to fiscal year 15. Cyberling Way is moving engineering and right-of-way funds from 14 to 15. Interstate 76 is an increase in funding. State Route 91, Darrell Road, is we're adding funding for base repairs and curb ramps. And State Route 93, Manchester Road, the same. We're adding MATS funding for base repairs and curb ramps. The staff does recommend approval to this amendment.
Questions for Mr. Pillay? We have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Dave White, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, no other business.
Thank you for bearing with us through the heat. As you could see earlier, I almost succumbed to it, but we'll make sure that it's cooler in here next time.
All right. Next meeting's Thursday, July 17th, 1:30, right here. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So move.
White second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion adjourned. Meeting adjourned.